What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. That's the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Linz.
Thanks, Adano. All right, so a Nebraska woman is facing a criminal charge for allegedly using a loophole to steal more than 7,000 gallons of gas worth more than $27,000. So somehow this lady figured out some type of glitch in the system where it allowed her to use her rewards card, her fuel rewards card, and swipe it twice instead of just once, and realized it would then go into demo mode and give her free gas. And so this woman continued using this method to get free gas for 4 months from November until January of this year. And she even allowed other people to pay her money to use this free gas hack.
Ooh.
So now she's going to jail because you can't do that. But also at the same time, you know, she could argue like, well, it was free and then it let me do it.
Jail?
Yeah, she's going to jail.
How long is she going to jail for?
Well, she was they have not sentenced her yet, but yeah, she's being charged with grand larceny because it's because it's over $27,000. I think anything over like $10,000 is larceny, grand larceny.
See, to me, if I go to Costco and I go to Costco in San Juan Capistrano every week because they've got a killer car wash for $7.99. Okay, so I fill up my car and then I go get a car wash. But I have to remember to get the receipt. Otherwise, it's a whole headache, okay? And more often than not, I forget. If I put my Costco card in the gas pump at the San Juan Cap Costco gas station, and it pumped my gas for free, I'd be like, hey, I don't know. They like me. They're giving me free gas. What can I tell you? See, where you get into trouble is when you say to your pal, hey, pull right behind me. When I get done, you pay me half of what it's going to cost to fill your tank. Now you're stealing. See, the first way, innocent mistake. I didn't know. What do I know? It just pumped my gas for free. What can I tell you? Once you start having other people take part in it and you're taking their money, now you're stealing. Jail, though, seems a bit extreme. I mean, how about
$27,000 is a lot of gas.
Well, I mean, maybe she could like wash people's windows at the gas station or like check their oil or put air in their tires or something. I don't know. $27,000 in jail. It's a hard time, Daddy. I don't know. George, you go to jail for that, man? It was an innocent
not
mistake
me, bro.
At first. No?
Yeah, not me. I mean, listen, but you keep stealing it. You keep going back to the well, you know? Like you would do. And then you would have been definitely gone to jail because you'd be letting all your friends in there too.
I might have kept this one for myself. You know, chances are I wouldn't have. Probably would have. You know what I probably would have done? I probably told my daughter, I'm like, hey, pull behind me. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to fill my car, your car. Hey, Rach, get behind her. Now there's three of us.
How many times, Linz, did she do it?
She did it for like 4 months.
Yeah, that's like a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things you do once.
That's one of those things you do over and over again.
Until you get caught and thrown in jail?
But you don't sell the gas to your friends. Now, maybe you fill up some gas cans and take them to your friends, you know? I mean, listen, I had this thing when I was in college. We still had landlines. Nobody had cell phones yet. We all had landlines, right? So I don't remember how, but somebody figured out some code where you dial like 9, then like 8563245. Somebody had a
code. Free long distance or something?
And we had free long distance. Mm-hmm. And we use this free long distance, man. I'm telling you, for months and months and months, we use this free long distance. Yep. I mean, nobody went to jail. I mean, were we stealing? I don't know. Were we stealing?
Kind of.
Yeah.
You could have gotten in trouble for it if they really wanted to.
I mean, listen, the whole football team was using this free line that we found, and we were all calling home.
And especially, you were playing for the NCAA. They could look for anything to get you.
Yeah, well, I guess we stole long distance.
You know what?
Guilty.
You also played at Pitt, right? Like, and I don't mean this to be demeaning. I mean this actually in a good way. Because they weren't looking to nail you guys. Because, you know, you guys have been playing football forever, and they like you guys. If it was like USC, they would have nailed them for sure.
Oh, we got nailed plenty. Don't worry about it, George. We got nailed plenty. We had plenty of scandals going on. Coaches paying players, you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was a very weird time in college football. Steroids. I mean, believe me, we got busted for all of it. If you could get busted for it, we got busted for it, other than stealing long distance phone calls.
Yeah. There's a lot of tweets in the Circle of Trust about the LeBron conversation we had, but I'm going to pause those for a minute because I want to finish. I want to get into the NFL for a little bit. First of all, shout out to the Rams. I love the signing of the guard, Jonah Jackson, who they signed from Detroit. Detroit had a great offensive line last year and ran the ball as well as anybody. And they brought back Darius Williams, who was a good player for them. And, you know, they needed kind of a veteran guy in the secondary with that young group that they had that I thought played really well. So I think they've done a nice job.
Well, what the Rams have done so far, and this is just, you know, kind of so far, they haven't made a sexy, splashy signing like, you know, so, like Atlanta went out and got Kirk Cousins and it's a big money contract, right? And just, you know, there's and then Saquon Barkley moved from New York to Philadelphia, which is like a big FU to the New York Giants.
They've done like things that are needed. They're just correct. Not, to your point, they're not flashy.
They're not sexy because one's an offensive lineman and one is a defensive back. And he's not considered like the number one cover corner in the entire NFL. But credit to the Rams, I'm with you, that they're filling needs. Because the offensive line is where you win. That's how you build a football team. You start with an offensive line.
And you're building the trenches.
Right, and you and I started talking about this a little bit yesterday as all of this stuff was happening. The kid they got from Detroit, not only does he come from a team that is a run-first type of a team, but also comes from a coach that was preaching toughness the entire time. So if this kid brings with him what he was or learned in Detroit, run the football, do it like a tough guy, that's a great addition to an offensive line. I loved the move yesterday.
And I will also add that you need a strong interior line with a quarterback who's not very mobile like Matthew Stafford, who needs time. So the last place he wants pressure is up the middle.
Yep. No, that's a good point. Listen, the Rams are not like everybody else where they're going to make some massive, flashy, $100+ million free agent signing. At least I don't think they are. But I'll tell you this. When you look around and you think, what do the Rams need to do? You know, where else do they need help? Remember last year the conversation was they have the lowest paid defense in the entire NFL. Do you remember that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I just look across town and I look at the Chargers. And I look at Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and both guys are making over $35 million a year.
Yeah.
Bosa, in particular, has more problems staying healthy than Mack does, and Mack is still productive. Now, look, if you went back and looked at his stats last year, I think it was the game against the Raiders, he had 6 sacks in one game. So if you looked at his sack totals for the year, you might go, wow, this guy had, I'm just making up a number, 15 sacks on the year, and then you realize like 6 of them came in one game. But if I were the Rams, I'd be looking at the Chargers, who I think are desperate to get rid of Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, and I'd figure out which one you like. I'd wait for him to get cut, and then I'd go make a move and get one of those guys.
Right. So, like, hey, you don't even need to move.
Yeah. And again, I wouldn't trade for him because I don't want to pay them the $35 or $36 million dollars a year they're going to make. They're going to get cut at some point.
Now, what kind of team do you think the Raiders are trying to build? And we could kind of carry this over if you'd like. Because I kind of like some of the Raiders' moves. So let's do this. Let's break on time, or ish, at Jason at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do want to talk about the Raiders. And I do want to get back to the Lakers because there's some more news from some of the news that we provided yesterday in regards to who's going to be available for the Lakers here coming up pretty soon. So let's get to the Raiders. Let's get back to the Lakers. We'll be back in a moment here on 710 ESPN.
All right, let me have a second to talk about Prize Picks. Now, George, don't go anywhere because I want your advice. You ready?
Okay.
All right, listen, for tonight, here's what I've done so far on Prize Picks. I've taken Giannis tonight, okay? Giannis, they're giving us a Taco Tuesday discount. His total is 27.5 points tonight, and Milwaukee is playing Sacramento. Do you like that play or do you not like that play?
I do like that play.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big discount. Giannis. I mean, to go his normal, it's a 15% discount. So I think his normal number would be like 30. So at 27.5, I'm going to play more. Now I'm looking around here.
And Sacramento plays no defense.
Yeah. So like De'Aaron Fox, for example, I mean, is he going to score more or less than 28.5 points tonight? Or Sabonis for Sacramento, 14.5 points. What'd you say?
28.5?
Yeah, 28.5 for De'Aaron Fox.
No, that seems like too much for me.
I know. So I'm going over to some hockey tonight. I'm looking at some hockey, and I was thinking about Connor Bedard for Chicago. taking on Anaheim tonight. And
he's got number one pick.
Yeah, 3.5 shots on goal. You think he'll have more or less than 3.5 shots on goal?
Oof.
I'm going to take more.
That's a lot of shots on goal, but I'm guessing he's probably there. I haven't watched Chicago Blackhawks hockey.
Oh, you
hockey,
haven't? You haven't been scouting those guys? Oh, I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
But I feel like he's probably their best offensive threat, so I'm guessing he's probably shooting the puck 3 or 4 times.
Well, I've made my play now. I have made my play. And listen, here, you can make your play too. Pick your favorite player. Decide if you think they're going to score more or less. Or maybe you combine points, rebounds, and assists, and you decide they're going to have more or less. Are they going to have more or less shots on goal? Are they going to have more or less hits in hockey? In darts, are they going to have more or less 180s and 3.5? I mean, the list goes on and on of everything that you can play. You can even play like League of Legends if you want to. Video games. There is nothing you cannot play on Prize Picks. So download the Prize Picks app, use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y, for a first deposit match of 100% up to $100. You put in 100, they put in 100, you've got 200. You put in 50, they put in 50, you got a hundo to play. Download the Prize Picks app, use my code Cappy for that first deposit match, and get in the game with me and 3 million other people at Prize Picks.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Taylor's a great oldies singer for sure.
I love James Taylor.
This now, is a great song right here.
Now, do I have to say it again?
What?
Big D.
Yo.
You know who James Taylor is?
I do not.
Yeah. No chance.
I was going to say no chance myself.
I do not.
Yeah.
But this is also not like my type of like music, to be honest with you.
I know, but this is some chill music right here.
Oh, it is
very
chill.
Easy time. My back turned towards the sun. Yeah. Lord knows it's a cold wind blows. It'll turn your head around. Oh, if I seen a line on a telephone line to talk about things to come.
Why do you sing every song like that?
Sweet dreams and because I don't know the words. So when I don't know the words, I kind of just like, you know, schmaltzy it up, you know? Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I'll tell you what, Big D, you should go back and listen to James Taylor's greatest hits.
I'm okay.
Just expand your horizons, my dog.
I expand my horizon, but that like country and that type of music is just
not really
that
country.
Type of,
I mean, not really country.
It's more like folksy, like rock and roll. You know what I mean? I would call it. You know,
I know. I don't know. I'm just not into that type of music.
Well, I'm not saying you're into it. I'm just saying give it a try.
Well, I mean, he did. He heard it here. He didn't like it.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Can I put you on some rap then, Cap? Is that if that's
yeah?
The
I'll
case.
Tell you what. I'll make you a deal. You ready?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. You put me onto something that I don't know. That's hip-hoppy. That's cool. That's contemporary.
Can be almost anything.
And I'll give you James Taylor. And then every day, we should make an exchange of young, cool, hip, contemporary hip-hop, and I'll give you something old and white.
Sounds good.
There you go.
All right. For you, it's James Taylor. For me, what is it for me today?
I'll look at some music, and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, let me know.
Cappy, so what kind of team do you think the Raiders are building here? I mean, the Christian Wilkins move is a big move, clearly. They spent a lot of money, nearly $100 million on him. And he's an excellent defensive tackle. They are leaning into their strength defensively, although defensive tackle I felt like was a place of need even on their defense. And, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday that they added Gardner Minshew.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a solid quarterback. right? Not spectacular, but solid, you know, even above average, I would say. And I still think they're going to draft somebody. I don't think that they're just done at quarterback, personally. So I got to be honest. I kind of like what they've done. Now, they lost Josh Jacobs, and but I think running back is replaceable. It's the most interchangeable position in the sport, for God's sake. So,
well, I'll start off with Gardner Minshew. So most people look at Gardner Minshew and they go, yeah, but what is special about him? And my answer to that would be nothing. But here's my answer to why the Raiders would want to get a guy like Gardner Minshew. Number one, Jimmy Garoppolo, it didn't work out. And Jimmy Garoppolo's not very good. You know, you talk about the phrase game manager. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo is. You know, nothing more, nothing less, just sort of middle of the road. Yes, he's won a lot of games, and people kind of hang their hat on that. But there's nothing special.
He won a lot of games because he played on great teams.
Yeah, that's right. But his record was such that people would go, look at he's a winner. That's how people look at that.
Gardner Minshew is a slight, ever so slight upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo, in my opinion. But he's a guy who throws a better ball, in my opinion, than Jimmy Garoppolo. Because Gardner Minshew came through kind of the Mike Leach system, right? Played at Washington State. They slung the ball all around the field. So he's a guy that you can throw the ball around the yard with.
See, I think that Gardner Minshew is a significant upgrade over Garoppolo, but that's because I don't think very much of Jimmy Garoppolo. But
okay, that's fair.
Here's what I like about Minshew. Yeah. Minshew is the kind of guy
the mustache?
He had that stash, and it was a good-looking stash at the time.
Yeah.
But he's not a guy that anybody's ever looked at and thought, he's our starting quarterback. He's our guy, and we all rally around him. He's our guy, and he's now the captain and the leader of our team. Nobody looks at him like that. Would you agree?
No, they thought of him as like he's a really good backup quarterback, and if he has to start, we can win games with him.
He's a guy who, to me, at this stage of his career, because he's played enough, he's started enough, he's backed up enough, he's been on a couple of different teams, he's a reliable backup quarterback who can start games and can actually win games for you. He's probably not going to lose a bunch of games for you, and he's probably not going to put a team on his back and win a bunch of games for you. But I'll tell you this, you go back to last year and you look at Indianapolis and they lose Anthony Richardson, their first round pick, and Gardner Minshew comes in and he wins games. I mean, he is part of winning games. He's one of those guys who's an underdog player, who's a heart player, and guys ultimately do rally around him. So I like Gardner Minshew, but I'll say this, George, I'm not sure that the Raiders are saying Gardner Minshew's our starter. Aiden O'Connell, the guy we drafted in the fifth round last year, he's our backup, and we're good with that. They draft at number 13. Could the Raiders move up? Could the Raiders stay where they are and find themselves getting the number 4 or 5 type quarterback in this draft?
No.
Okay, so after the top three guys, who's the 4 and 5 guy in the quarterback class?
I think people are saying J.J. McCarthy is that guy.
Okay, now let me
and
just
then
give
probably
you...
Bo Nix, the kid from Oregon.
Okay, I watched his workout today, as a matter of fact. But let me just give you the draft order. If the Bears, this is an interesting thing because the Bears have not been able to make a move yet with Justin Fields. So Bears at 1, Washington at 2, New England at 3. We assume all three of those teams are taking quarterbacks. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Arizona, quarterback?
No.
Chargers?
No.
Giants?
Maybe.
Titans?
Maybe.
Falcons?
No.
Okay, Bears draft again at 9.
Right, they would have taken their guy already.
Jets?
Not in the first round.
Okay, Minnesota?
Maybe.
Denver?
Probably.
Okay, so you've got a bunch of maybes in front of the Raiders. If the Raiders stay at 13, could a guy like Bo Nix, if a guy like Michael Penix moves up, could a guy like J.J. McCarthy possibly still be available at 13? Maybe. All I'm saying is I like what the Raiders have done because they've gotten themselves now a veteran, reliable quarterback.
Right. But I do think what they could do is, like, if I were them, and I'm trying to see where they pick in the second round.
Okay, stand by. I can have that information here in a matter of seconds.
I can have that for you. Their second round pick
I want to beat you to the second
round. Is 44.
Okay.
Right. So the 14th pick. Oh, no, actually the 12th pick, right? In the...
Yep. Here you go. 44. There you go. Right there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
If somehow, some way, Michael Penix is there, you have to take him. You have to take him. You have to.
Okay, well, listen, if you do that, what you're saying is that you're going to wait on him behind a guy like Gardner Minshew.
For a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Not even for a year. By the way, you don't even need, it doesn't even need to be for a year. There's plenty of precedent of guys starting midway through the season, okay? I mean, I'm thinking back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, Kurt Warner was the starter of the Giants before Eli Manning took over about 7 or 8 games in. Same thing with Donovan McNabb. There was I don't remember who the quarterback was, but Donovan McNabb sat for 5, 6 games and then became the quarterback. Well, like, yeah, there is precedent for that.
Even more contemporary. I mean, didn't the Dolphins do that with Tua?
They did, right. They had Ryan Fitzpatrick, yes.
Yeah. So, listen, I'll give you another example. So you know that I'm now a huge New England Patriots fan, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Jacoby Brissett fan.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett signed a contract today with the New England Patriots. Why are they signing a guy like that? To be their starting quarterback?
No, he's going to be a stopgap.
He's a Band-Aid. So right. they wind up drafting Jaden Daniels,
and that's
let's
what
say,
Minshew
at number 3.
Is.
Right. So if New England drafts Drake May or Jaden Daniels at number 3, they've got a reliable veteran backup quarterback who has started and won games, and they've got a reliable guy, a good locker room guy, a culture guy. You know, someone who can spread the word of the coaching staff. And then they get a young quarterback and they groom him.
So the second round quarterbacks right now are, according to most mock drafts, right, are Penix, Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, who, interestingly enough, is the guy Caleb Williams unseated at Oklahoma. Looking to see if there's anyone else I look at.
There's that kid from Florida State. That got hurt.
Oh, Jordan Travis? Right. He's coming off a pretty bad injury. I'm just saying
his name is out there. Bo Nix, we just mentioned at Oregon.
Well, Bo Nix could be a first rounder.
Yeah, that's right. Then there's names that people are not exactly going to know. Even Tua's brother from Maryland is
You know who I would love the Rams to take?
Tell me.
And you may have, I'm sure you've seen him play because your daughter goes to school there. Michael Pratt, the kid from Tulane.
Yeah, he had a couple of good years, as a matter of
yes,
fact.
Yes, he's a good quarterback. Like, that's the guy you take in, like, the 4th or 5th round, and you're like, just stash him away, you know?
Yeah, you know, here's a name. USC fans will remember this name. Keaton Slovis is probably, like, the 10th-ranked quarterback.
Yeah.
That guy went from USC, I want to say, to my alma mater, Pitt, and then from Pitt
BYU.
To BYU, and now he's finally, you know, trying to make it in the NFL. But he's up there. I mean, he's listed in the top 10. I mean, maybe, like, top 12. Not that I think he's that good.
No, but my point is that I think if you're the Raiders, Gardner Minshew's clearly not the answer. He's just a stopgap.
Yeah,
so you might as well take a guy in the second round if you can.
Unless for some reason the Raiders are like, look.
Or somebody falls to you in the first, I guess. But, you know.
Well, and by the way, at 13, that could happen.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling that out.
I just think Penix is, if the Raiders get Penix, I think they've found their guy. Now, the biggest problem with Penix is an injury history, but a lot of these guys have injury histories. But Penix, to me, Cappy, I have seen him now several years. I've called enough games of his, particularly on radio. I did a bunch of his games. He's really going to be good, man. Like, I just hope his knees hold up, but that to me is the only thing. It's not the ability to throw the ball. He's got the best deep ball in the sport in college football last year and the last 2 seasons. So he's going to push the ball down the field. He does it with great accuracy. He's a leader. Like, he's got all the stuff you want in a quarterback. They're just terrified of his injury history.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, again, you ask what the Raiders are doing here. They let Josh Jacobs go. They get their defensive line even that much better. The strength of their team is defense. And now they've got a competent quarterback. Not a superstar, not that we know of, not as of right now, but a guy who has won games, who's been around. Generally, his teammates seem to rally around him because you saw what he did last year in Indy. I like Gardner Minshew. I mean, you're in a division now with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, and who knows what Denver has. So you've got two of the better quarterbacks and the best quarterback in the entire league, maybe the best quarterback of all time in your division. You know, that's who you're going with. But But he's not going to kill you. That's the thing. Aiden O'Connell really couldn't help you that much last year.
Nah,
Jimmy
fine.
Garoppolo is just, yeah. I mean, he's done.
Omar in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust says, wait, what, Sedano? You giving the Raiders praise? Hell is going to freeze over.
Who, Omar Lopez said that?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not my fault they've stunk.
It is your fault.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then it is my fault, Omar. Sorry.
Hey, Omar, Omar, why don't you send George to Terminal O?
That would be funny. All right, Cappy, coming up next, award-winning Radio Tinder, brought to us by an award-winning tequila, our friends at Tequila Mandala. That's coming up next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is a banger.
Yeah, it is.
Just kidding.
This is a banger?
Yeah. This is a new junt, Cappy. We need the Alfred Hitchcock remix.
Alfred just dropped his junt?
Yeah. Good evening. We got to mix that in. They're like, bow, 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 bow. There you go. There you go. All right, so Radio Tinder here. Utah State's first-round exit from the Mountain West Women's Basketball Tournament was only the precursor to the real story that came out of Las Vegas, because their head coach had some news to break at the end of her press conference. Here we go. I'm going to play this for you guys.
And how do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State. I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in. I'm assuming that's going to be the last question. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Okay.
So do you think that they should have let her do the post-game interview, even though they just fired her? Swipe left or swipe right? George?
I think she would probably want to do it. Like, even if I was let go, I still would want to do... If I coach the game, I'm going to do the post-game press conference.
Really? Even though you just got fired and
doesn't
she was
matter.
Crying because you just got fired?
I coached the game. I want to be... I want to fulfill my job to the end. And that's part of the responsibility of a head coach, is
so
to
you're
face
swiping
the
right.
Yeah, swipe right.
Gabby,
I'm fine with it.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with George. I mean, I coached the game, and you're going to talk to me about the game that was just played... And yeah, I know I was just let go, but I would rather be able to take the questions and talk about my team. And I mean, I obviously didn't hear any of the press conference other than what you just played. I mean, prior to that, did she talk about her team? Did she say anything interesting about them? I'm sure you didn't watch the whole thing either. I mean, this is what was salacious and newsworthy. But she also didn't have to drop that. So
no,
she kind of...
That was the only question I guess that was asked. Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, then I'd really like to go do the press conference, because, like, hey, I'm not going to wait for them to announce that they fired me. I'm going to come out here and tell you guys they just fired me.
But, I mean, and also if you're the school, okay, so if you're the coach, you want to do it. But from the school's perspective, I don't know. It's just like when somebody gets, like, fired in radio or live TV or something, even if you put in your notice, usually they don't. I mean, unless you're, like, a beloved figure who's, like, retiring or something, they usually don't let you go on the air because they're afraid that you're going to be like, you mother bleepers, bleep you, and just, you know, which that has happened before.
Right.
So are you surprised that the school, like, even had her do the press conference?
Well, had her do it, or you know, the way you made it seem is, like, would they allow her to do it?
Yeah, like both, I guess. Like, be like, oh,
well,
do you
clearly
still
they did allow her.
I know, but
how could they have stopped her?
I mean, what do you mean how could they have stopped
her? They fired her.
She just got fired.
Right, so they fired her so she can walk out there and she's the person who just coached the game.
Well, I think if you're going to fire somebody and not want them to do the press conference, you have security waiting there or something, I don't know. Or be like, hey, we're not.
Utah State women's basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's that serious.
Okay, you're right. It's not that serious. I'm just saying, like, generally speaking, I feel like it's kind of weird.
It is strange. I'll give you that. It's unusual. Like,
it's out of the ordinary. But but the question you asked if I'm okay with her doing what she did, I would have done the same thing.
All right. So next one, Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura are at the top of the list of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s potential running mates. Though the independent candidate says that he has not yet made a formal offer to either. Kennedy is expected to select his running mate in the coming weeks, his campaign manager told ABC News. And apparently, you know, Aaron Rodgers has reportedly been entertaining the idea of being his running mate. Do you guys think Aaron Rodgers would make a good running mate? Cappy, swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to swipe left for this reason, though. Because I don't see Aaron Rodgers, a starting quarterback, a Super Bowl champion quarterback. I don't see him as a backup quarterback. So I don't see him as a vice president. I do kind of, you know, Jesse Ventura is interesting to me because I was always a Jesse the Body Ventura fan. I was a fan of him as a wrestler in the late 70s and the 80s. You know, I'm a fan of his acting work. And I admire the hell out of a guy who can be, like, I don't know, Navy SEAL, NFL broadcaster, pro wrestler, movie star, and then becomes author and politician. Like, I admire the hell out of Jesse the Body Ventura, but I don't know that Jesse Ventura getting onto the Robert F. Kennedy ticket is a winning ticket per se.
Well, listen, Robert F. Kennedy is not going to win the presidency, so it would be a waste of time for anyone, including Aaron Rodgers, to be a part of his campaign.
Right, but you know, they're not getting all political. Like, just theoretically, hypothetically. Would Aaron Rodgers, like, is that kind of guy you want as your running mate? Like, that kind of guy?
Well, they're very friendly.
Okay, you know how he is, and now everyone thinks he's, like, this weirdo, strange guy with all these conspiracy theories, which he does have a lot of. He's really.
I mean, Lindsay, I feel like we've jumped the shark on politics a long time ago with some of the people that are, you know, have been or currently been in office over a bunch of different offices. So Aaron Rodgers would not surprise me. I mean, Tommy Tuberville is a senator, for God's sake.
Okay.
Right, right. I mean, listen, don't forget, no offense, Arnold, I know you're listening, but when Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of the state of California, people were like, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then of course we know who the previous president was. Most people were like, "Wait a second."
Well, and by the way, guy go from back that to Ronald TV Reagan, show? Who was an actor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like this is not out of the norm for someone not in the traditional political arena to be throw their hat into said arena.
But if you're Aaron Rodgers, the problem you have is, bro, you tore your Achilles, and the Jets put everything into your basket. You got to come back and give them at least one more year. You ain't got no time to be running for VP.
You're saying Woody Johnson's like, Aaron, you better not run for not be on his ticket.
Right. I don't want to hear about you running for vice president. Look, here's the question. Yeah. Can you be vice president of the United States and be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets?
Can you even
I don't believe
run?
He can.
Yeah.
I mean, would Secret Service be on the field with him then in that scenario?
Yeah, no. Like, what
so you couldn't sack him because the Secret Service agents are there? You know, like, how's that work?
Yeah,
Keep your hands off the vice president.
How can you even, like, be supportive if you want to play football? That means his football career would be over, right?
I got news for you. The Secret Service might be a better offensive line option than what the Jets had last year.
That's a fair point. Yes, I would agree. But yeah, Lindsay, it's not out of the ordinary to see someone from the non-political arena throw their hat in there.
That is true. It would not be. I just think that Aaron Rodgers is kind of an out there choice.
By the way, but even Jesse the Body Ventura, to Cappy's point, is a perfect example of it. You know, so you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So no, I mean, I'm swiping. What was the specific question?
If he would be a good running mate.
I mean, I don't know if he'd be a good running mate because I don't know anything other than what he's said on the Pat McAfee show. But I would say that would it surprise me if he was a running mate at some point in some capacity or in politics in some capacity? I would say no. So I would swipe right, I guess, in that scenario.
So he would be a good running mate.
Well, I mean, that's not the question I'm answering because I don't know the answer to that. You know
what
I mean?
You are declining to swipe.
Okay, then I will not swipe in that scenario. Yes. But it wouldn't surprise me if Aaron Rodgers went into politics because, again, Jesse the Body Ventura was a wrestler.
Yeah,
and went into politics.
Yeah, but when Aaron Rodgers goes into politics, he'll be the presidential candidate, and Robert F. Kennedy will be his vice presidential candidate.
I mean,
he came back from the dead.
No, that was DeMar Hamlin, actually, and still didn't win the damn award. Hey,
Aaron Rodgers should run on this ticket. Ayahuasca for everybody. This whole country could use a little ayahuasca.
Hey, you know, there's a whole thing with the decriminalization of whatever you want to call them, hallucinogenic drugs, whatever. Now that's all being reconsidered, and apparently they might change the rules back up in Oregon. So I don't know if the country is going to be on board with free ayahuasca for everyone.
Oh, all right. Well, just an idea.
Okay.
We got one more, or are we good?
I mean, I think we're good.
All right. Radio Tinder is brought to you by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Man, I can't wait to get rid of this cold and cough so I can just get some of that beautiful hand-painted round ceramic bottle and the nectar of the gods inside, the blanco, the reposado, the añejo, the extra añejo. So always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. I can't wait to do it myself. Award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Cappy, let's talk some Dodgers on the other side, because Gavin Lux has become vocal about his disappointment, let's call it. Let's get to that next.
All right, let's do it. Hey, before we do, I just want to remind everybody that we just put out a tweet at ESPN Los Angeles about this past Saturday and the Subaru Pet Initiative with the Best Friends Adoption Center. And you should go check that out. You should go take a look at that. This past weekend when I was out there at the Best Friends Pet Adoption Center in Santa Monica, Subaru had brought out a brand new 2024 Subaru Outback. And you'll see it in the video. First of all, I love the blue color, and I love the black down the middle of the hood. But I'm telling you, I sat in that car, and I thought to myself, man, I am really thinking about a brand new 2024 Outback. Although, I will tell you this, right now I'm also considering a 2024 Forester, because the Subaru Forester right now through April 1st, so for the rest of this month, there's the Subaru A Lot of Love sales event. And there are some amazing new lease offers on the brand new Subaru Forester. So come check that one out. You can go to Subaru.com to find all the information. They've got so many cool new colors. And as I always tell you, you know, Subaru is rugged. It's versatile. They've got all this advanced Subaru safety. It's a really smart investment if you've got a young family and you're packing your kids and your dogs into the car. I always talk about the symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you off-road with confidence. So there are so many reasons to check out Subaru. But right now, the legendary Subaru 2024 Forester, this is the time, because between now and April 1st, it's the Subaru A Lot of Love sales event. Get to your local LA area Subaru retailer and tell them you want to see the 2024 Forester.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah. Oh, I love a good Rick roll.
Never gonna love this video.
Never gonna let you.
He got great hair, nice trench coat,
an incredible voice.
Well, I wouldn't really know about that other than one song.
He's got two songs.
He does. He has a second song.
Together Forever was the follow up song. It sounds very
forever,
similar.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was the same song, not gonna lie.
It is very similar.
I really did think it was the same song.
He should sue himself for stealing his beat.
That's a good one, Cappy. That's a good one.
I thought it was Billy Ocean the first time I heard this song when I was a kid. When I didn't know who it was singing, like when I just heard the song for the first time on the radio, I thought it was Billy Ocean.
It does have like that similar like you know, like
I don't think Billy Ocean sounds like that.
Like it's like that. It's like a belly voice.
It's like no. It's just a good
singing from the belly.
Like rich. It's a rich voice. Like singing voice. It's very good.
How did the Rick roll
Can
ever come to be?
King Queen. That's what he sounds like.
I don't think he sounds like that. But that was a good Caribbean Queen. I honestly didn't know you even knew that song.
I know we know it from this show, from us talking about him playing it.
Caribbean Queen.
Mine's better, Captain.
Now you're 10 and
no, Cappy, you're too high.
Yeah. It's I told
my
you it's a belly.
Just means as one.
Cappy, put your belly into it, like Captain Queen. It's like that.
That was a little better. Yeah, I gotta be honest.
It's like a it comes from down here.
I'm Caribbean Queen.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
I don't know if I got it.
That was it, Cap. That was spot on.
I don't know if I got it.
Spot on.
But where did a Rickroll come from? Because that Rickroll didn't really happen back in the 80s when this song came out.
No, it became a thing of like the 2000s.
I thought it came from Jim Rome, not going to lie.
No. It came from like a sporting event.
It was an internet prank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like at a stadium. I thought it was like at a game and when a team... You know, got to a certain point during the game.
Basically, the way it started was like on the internet, like on like chat rooms and stuff, where people would be like, "Yo, you got to see this thing," and they'd tell you it's like something else, and then you'd click it, and it would be like a video. It would be the video of Never Gonna Give You Up.
So it's like phishing.
Yeah, but not like.
But not for something nefarious,
right? They weren't trying to steal your information, right? Yeah, they were just trying to play a joke.
Cappy, try and sing along here.
I got to figure this out, though. I feel like I got to know the real origins of a Rickroll.
Well, I'm telling you, it started in like chat rooms.
I'm not sure.
Ask Siri, Cappy. Ask Siri right now on your phone.
I mean, okay,
George,
fine.
This frustrates you, huh?
I mean, it's just like okay. Like, if you don't want to agree, then okay.
No, it's not that I don't want to agree. I want to agree. I want you to be right.
Yeah,
but I just feel like
okay.
I don't
here,
know.
I'm going to Google it right now. Right, origins of
where
a Rickroll.
Where did Rickroll here's
a,
come from?
Now, is Forbes a good enough source for you?
They're okay. They're all right, Forbes. I mean, I don't know what they have to do with Rickrolling, but.
Okay.
What is
a Rickroll? In short, it's an internet prank and a good one. Rickrolling started around 2007 on online bulletin boards where users would post a link that unexpectedly directed users to the video of Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Hence, Rickrolling.
Hey, listen, you were right. I just had some skepticism, didn't know, and now I stand corrected.
I remember because I remember the time, like even it was. I thought it was early 2000s, but it was mid 2000s, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a Michael Jackson song.
No, not that remember.
Not remembering that time, huh?
Remembered.
Hey, George,
Cappy, do you remember the time when Gavin Lux was the shortstop of the Dodgers?
I do remember that time, and it lasted about like 30 seconds because he got hurt last spring and then didn't play at all last year. Let me tell you something, George. For as much excitement as there is about the Dodgers. And I know it's all Ohtani based, okay? And listen, it should be more than Ohtani. Because when you look at this game, these two games that are going to be played next week over in Korea, look what the Dodgers are doing. They're showing off the new toys. Tyler Glasnow gets the first start in game one, and Yamamoto gets the start in game two. So they're putting out all the new toys right away, right? But when you think about the Dodger infield, take Freddie Freeman off the plate for a quick second. Mm-hmm. You got Max Muncy over at third. I mean, he's not exactly what you would call the most athletic third baseman, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you got Mookie at short, which I think most people are like, well, he's Mookie. You know, he's going to be a great shortstop. Maybe, but we're not sure quite yet because, I mean, he's been moved around quite a bit. He played there a little bit last year. Then you got Lux at second, who's been a disaster in spring training at
right.
short.
He's like Chuck Knobloch now all of a sudden.
Right. He can't, he can't make a throw. You know,
right.
and little routine fly balls in the infield, he can't make that play. Mm-hmm. And then you got Freddie Freeman, who's, you know, I mean, he's an all-star caliber player. But right. shouldn't Dodger fans be concerned
yes.
about the infield?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I think so, too.
We started talking about this a week ago. You know what I mean? Like that it wasn't great, you know?
And look, again, I know everybody trusts Mookie. You have every right to trust Mookie. He was the best right fielder in baseball. He became, you know, we need him at second base so he can play there no problem, and he started his career there. And you assume that he was probably the best player on his high school team and his club team, and that usually the best player plays short. Yeah. So you assume he can play there. But it's not like you go from right field to shortstop and you go, hey, he's an all-star. He might be.
He could be.
But
I mean,
what if
he's
he isn't?
Good enough to be, probably.
But what if he isn't because he hasn't played there enough?
No, I get it. I get it. It's certainly a risk, but I would take a risk with a guy who clearly is as athletic as he is, right? So, you know, I think with Gavin Lux, this has become a mental thing as much as anything else.
Of course it's mental. It reminds me of, what was the guy's name?
Chuck Knobloch?
Chuck Knobloch's one.
Right.
There was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, Rick Ankiel.
Oh, Ankiel, right, yeah.
Remember this guy? Does anybody remember this guy?
Well, they had to turn him into an outfielder.
Right, this guy as a rookie was having like this monster year. The Cardinals got to the postseason, and all of a sudden he could not get the ball over the plate.
Right.
Okay. A couple years later, through persistence and perseverance on his own, he actually turned into a really good outfielder and a really good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But he could not get the ball over the plate. Dodger fans, old school Dodger fans, will remember Steve Sachs, who couldn't get the ball from second base to first base. It just becomes a mental block, dude.
Yeah. I mean, Chuck Knobloch, I remember those Yankee years, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, he did end up playing, I believe, another year in the big leagues, or another year or two maybe in the big leagues after that. But, you know,
there was that time. Yeah.
Yeah, the Yankees stuck. I'm trying to remember the year that really happened. Like, there was like a year where it was just like.
It's got to be like in the late
90s. It was going to be late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
But he only. I remember after he was done with the Yankees, he played with Kansas City, and that was it. That was the end of his career. And he ended his career fairly young, like, for a guy. You know, I think he was like in his early 30s.
Here's a guy, Chuck Knobloch. I'm just looking this up because I didn't really, you know, I remember the early part of his career, and then I remember the Yankee part of his career. I didn't remember where he went after
that. He finished in Kansas City.
He played for the Indians at one point.
Let's see. Started with the
Cleveland!
Minnesota Twins.
This is for you! No, he didn't play with the Indians.
Yes, he did.
Well, it doesn't say
I don't think so.
Then he was a coach there at some point.
Okay, maybe. Minnesota, the Yankees, and then Kansas City. Four-time All-Star.
Yeah, right.
Four-time All-Star, four-time World Series champ. Rookie of the
year. He was a Gold Glove winner in 1997.
Yep, that's right.
And this guy then had the mental block where he couldn't throw to first base.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what year that was. Wait a second.
I'm thinking of Chuck Finley. Never mind.
I mean, come on.
Got
Lindsay.
Your Chucks confused.
Come on,
yes,
Lindsay,
I did. Because Chuck Finley had the girlfriend that was in the Whitesnake video.
Tawny Kittain.
Yeah.
Tawny Kittain,
yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chuck.
So let me see. The Yankees...
Let's see here. Game 2 of the 1998 American League Championship Series against the Indians. Knobloch was involved in an infamous defensive play in the 12th inning with the score tied 1-1. Travis Fryman bunted. Knobloch covered first base for a possible putout. Nelson Throw hit front, blah, blah, blah. But no, instead of retrieving the ball, Knobloch argued with the first base. Remember, that's not it. That's not it. Here it is. Somebody called him Blockhead, like Knobloch.
It was the... let me see.
Blockhead's what they called Charlie Brown.
Mm. Well, I'm trying to figure it out. But anyway, look, but all of a sudden, dude could not get the ball to first base. I mean, routine ground ball would come to second, and he'd have to throw it to first, and everybody in the stadium would be like, no!
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get the ball to first base. That right now is Gavin Lux.
It was really bad. Let me see. What year is this?
By the way, you're listening to KSPN
Los Angeles. KSPN
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice work out of both of you guys.
Well, speaking of, you know, these notifications, listen today for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Titans of Soft Rock, Yachtly Crew. Just listen to Morales to give you the cue to call. When you hear it, be caller 7 at 877-710-ESPN and wear a pair of tickets to 710 ESPN Night at the Whiskey in Hollywood on Friday, March 29th. You can see Mason, Cappy, and Morales bring on Yachtly Crew. Get your tickets now to join the fun.
Well, Cappy, it had to be 2000 because in 2001 the Yankees moved him to left field.
Oh, yeah, probably so.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what it was. But anyway, it's not the first time someone's dealt with this like Gavin Lux. I mean, Knobloch is the most famous one. But, yeah, like, this is not good by any stretch of the imagination. Like,
so here's the deal. You know how we were talking about the Raiders and how the Raiders seem to be putting more of their money into the defensive side than the offensive side?
Yeah.
This is the Dodgers this year, at least based on what the infield is right now. You're going to have to outscore everybody rather than be considered a great defensive team, at least on paper now.
In theory, you'd like the pitchers to just like blow guys away, right? But that's not going to be always going to be the case, to your point.
Yeah, so you're going to be a better offensive team than you are going to be on paper a defensive team because we're not sure about Mookie. We already see that Gavin Lux is not good and probably is going to be replaced at some point. You don't know what's going to happen to Muncy at third. I mean, he's competent, no doubt, but I mean, he's older now. He's not as athletic as he once was, even though he's a fan favorite and a locker room, you know, kind of heart and soul guy. But again, the question mark is Mookie at short. Is Mookie going to be as good at short as he was in right field? If he is, problem solved. If he isn't, problem.
Yeah, agreed. All right, coming up next, Cappy, Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp got into it about LeBron, who we were talking about earlier. And then I want to read some of the tweets from our previous LeBron conversation. So we'll get to some of that. Stick around. We'll be back in 2 minutes.